and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 326. Or as we're calling it here, absolute chaos. How are we all doing? Do let me know. I've got notifications, I've got reminders, I've got emails. Oh, it's been a busy day. Hello, Jonathan. Ooh. The horrible young man who went after Chris Whitty is being punished. Ooh! Was he a child? His mum has confiscated his PlayStation. Oh, how about teaching him some manners instead? Just an idea. There's an idea. Oh. I read that as mum of 10, but it's mum of teen, isn't it? Oh, silly, silly, silly little boy. It's not locked up, but you'd imagine being without PlayStation is more of a punishment. Ah, well, Jonathan, seeing as though he went live on social, how about taking his phone off him as well? You know, just to be sure, just to be sure. Hello, Pete. How are you doing? Have you survived the wrath of Mrs. Pete regarding the expenditure? Notice I'm whispering that, just in case she's listening. Hello, Kim. Oh, Mac Baiters. Oh, who's been baiting who? Let me know. Oh, and Kim's mum got her second COVID shot today. He's feeling grounded. He's in so much trouble. Unbelievable, isn't it, Pete? Unbelievable. CQ Derp, CQ. How is Mummy Kim? How's she doing? I read this thing that was terrifying about purple feet. I really shouldn't. You're wondering, aren't you? Purple feet. Tell me about it. It was a lady who had a severe allergy to penicillin and amoxicillin. Went along for the jab against a better judgment. Pressure from work. Had it. I think she's still in hospital. It didn't end well. She had a racing heart. I think it was 176 on her phone, on her watch. Then she was hot, but she was hot, really, really hot. So she had her feet on some ice blocks. But as she stood up, she fell over. So they admitted her. She's still there now. And her feet turned purple. It's a thing, apparently. So like an Oompa Loompa, but not orange. Purple. They took some samples or something and now need a biopsy to send to Pfizer. Like Pfizer are going to say, whoops, it's not working. That's not going to happen. But she's still in there. So I went as white as a sheet because that's what I'm allergic to. Yes, it was the Pfizer jab. It wasn't the AstraZeneca one. She still doesn't know I bought Thai finish. Won't hear it from us, Pete. All quiet on the Western Front. Only been an hour, but she's fine. I guess it won't affect most people, will it? This purple thing, Pete, was really weird. They didn't call it frostbite, although she had her feet on ice blocks. But basically, if she lies down and they put her feet higher than her head or the rest of her body, she's fine. But the second, so once it got to that, she was like, oh, it's all right now. But the second she moves her feet down, they go purple again. And from the picture, really purple. Really, really purple. So I didn't fancy that. I don't fancy it, full stop. The thing that got her was she gave them all the information about what she was allergic to, particularly the penicillin and the amoxicillin. And they just kind of put a line through any allergies. And I thought, well, wouldn't you stop them at that point? If you've got allergies to medication, they need to know, surely. But they just kind of scribbled it out and gave it to her anyway. So she's not too good at the minute. Kim's mum's allergic to penicillin as well. Well, if she's okay with it, then that kind of balances it, doesn't it? So, so is there a purple disease, Pete? Purple feet disease, is it there? Shouldn't be any cross-reactivity between vaccines and penicillin. Well, no, there shouldn't be. Maybe she had something else, I don't know. Maybe it was just the fact that, you know, she felt that she didn't want it. I remember us talking with Tracy about this when her husband didn't want something. And I said, you know, forcing him to have it could actually make it worse because he doesn't want it. So he's going to be like a coiled spring. And she agreed with that. So maybe it's that. Maybe it's the fact that she didn't quite fancy it to start with. And she'd built it all up. And then once she'd had it, the kind of adrenaline kind of drains, doesn't it? And then you're like, well, it's too late now. And then what? Mind you, the heart rate of 176, not good. I wouldn't have thought the watch went that high, but apparently it does. Oh, anyway, is it 10% have been... No, 1 in 5, isn't it? It's 1 in 5, so 20%. 20% of the country has been vaccinated with at least one or half of it. Still no sign of a letter here then. Although they're talking about trying to get the schools back, so surely the teachers should have it. And all you can get out of anybody who mentions the schools going back is, well, children don't suffer with it that badly. No, but they do live with parents and or grandparents and or carers. And then there's a slight matter of the teachers. So they do need to think about it, but there you go. Where do you get... What are you doing down there? Whatever it is, stop it. Or you won't get any treats. Where do you get icebox? I think there were those things that you put in like a freezer bag. So they're like plastic with some kind of chemical in them that freezes. I think it was those, but I don't know. It's a bit like saying you can't work in Ubuntu and you definitely can't use a Mac. Oh, right. OK, then we'll see how it goes. Oh, wow. 194. Good grief, Pete. How fast were you going? In where I did a biking challenge a couple of years back, and it was on a exercise bike thing, stationary bike. Wasn't that fit when I started it, but decided, you know, literally the first day, I think I went 0.8 of a kilometre and thought I was having a heart attack. Did not go far. However, quickly decided, you know, need to get a bit fitter here, and decided I would. Initially, I biked for a certain length of time. So if I do like 5 minutes in like a HIIT thing, then I decided I was getting further. So I was up to like 8 and 10K. And then I decided I would do a challenge for the church roof and I would do a sponsored cycle. So I thought it's got to be worth doing. So I did a 2000K challenge. It was 40K a day for 50 days. Then I got up to 50K a day and I could probably rattle that out in about 40 minutes. But I don't think I ever went over about 136. So that's very impressive. You're not very fast, just bad loads of momentum though. No, I think mine got to about 136 and I thought, you know, don't have it going any higher than that or it'll go mad with its little self. But I would do it in like little sprints. But no, I've never seen it that high. Oh, wow. Mind you, I've never gone on a run. I've never felt the urge, need, desire or anything else either to ever go on a run. Not since the incident when I had to swim across the canal, if you remember. So the cross-country runs I did as a child scarred me forever. Running is never going to happen, ever. I do know a friend who's just taken that up, though. She's enjoying herself. This one's just decided that she's going to sit there and have a scratch, and I've told her not to. She's being good, though, isn't she? She is being good, you've got to admit. So what else have people been doing? Have you been buying anything else? Has anybody else bought anything else? Come on, Jonathan, you must have bought something. You must have thought about buying something. The biggest news of the day, of course, is the Affinity news. So where all of the Affinity apps have been updated, all of them. On Windows, on Mac, on iOS, all updated. 1.9. We are so tantalisingly close to 2. I remember saying to you, we are so tantalisingly close to 2, that there is a good chance that, you know, version 2 would include the data merge. Well, 1.9 includes the data merge. So the things that they have given us for free since that came out is just completely stunning. I think it was 2015 an Affinity Designer was released. And we're still on free updates 6 years on. And it's not just like bug fixes. We're talking they have added lots and lots and lots of useful features, particularly Affinity Publisher. There are some very, very, very nice updates in that that are useful. Some of the other updates, like they've put a divide blend mode, is like, yeah. But you know what we do with blend modes, don't you? We just whip through them and see which one looks like what we want it to look like. Very few do the maths. But a divide blend mode, it works nicely. So I will show you that. But yes, that's a design one. There's plenty of others. There's liquify stuff and all kinds of things. I'll probably focus on the bigger stuff this week and then do a mop up of the other stuff next week. The other thing that's there is synchronisation of store purchases, which sounds grand. Not enabled that yet, for good reason. I will explain more tomorrow. Oh, Kim can't download them all yet. We can't wait for tomorrow. And Jonathan's amazed they didn't make it paid upgrade. Totally agree. The stuff that's in there is amazing. I've actually just finished a document that could well have benefited from some of that. Typical. I'll probably go back and revisit that. There are a lot of things that have been in Publisher. Some are obviously in all three. And some are just in Designer and some in Photo. Mainly, though, I would say there are a few things in Designer and Designer alone and some in Photo and Photo alone, but many, many more in Publisher. So, I'll, like I say, I'll probably deal with the big stuff first. Probably time for another entire tutorial on the iPad versions, isn't it? You can also get some freebies, but it says the freebies, all 1.9 downloads come with a range of incredible free content when you register your app, and all you need is an Affinity account to utilize the brand new content sync feature, which sounds grand. But do bear in mind, this app, the account that you've got, when you buy the software, it's obviously only supposed to be installed on a certain number of machines. And if you buy direct from them, it is activated. But if you buy from the App Store, you don't need an account and it's not activated and you can install it however many times you like. But if you then log into your account, I wonder what happens then. And the reason that I bought them from the App Store as well was I don't want any problems trying to get something activated with an account. So I haven't done that yet because the ones that are on this machine are all from the App Store because they were already activated on my other machine. So I need to have a think about that. Ooh, Kim's just bought the iPad version. And if any Mac writers fancy a design challenge, Pete may need to redesign a diagram for the textbook due to a very nervous series editor. Good grief, what's the diagram of? What's made them so nervous? Is it a dodgy diagram? Tell us more. Tell us more. So, yes, all good news, I would say. There's a lot to cover, though. A lot. So at the moment, I'm pondering how best... I can't do the whole thing in one show. No chance. There's that many. I'm guessing the big headline features is probably the way to go. And then fill in the others later. So that's what it's looking like at the moment. But you may remember that I said to you that January is a nightmare, just a total nightmare from day one to the end. February, not much better and definitely busy the first week. So this has landed on me. I actually had the email to send out yesterday and it didn't get sent out because we were that busy. I then started a simple job. You'll know the type, a simple job. I think I started at 9 o'clock last night. Mike was getting up at 1 o'clock. Yes, I know this is what happens here to deal with the rest of it. So it's like, oh, I'll take it. You know, I've 4 hours. I've got plenty of time. It'll be fine. I'll get you up at 1 o'clock. He gets up at 1 o'clock to find me sat here tearing my hair out. I had to take it. Got that complicated, this so-called simple job. I ended up with more post-it notes than you could shake a stick at all over the desk. A red tick meant that I'd approved it. A blue one meant that Mike had approved it. I actually took a photo. So I need to make sure that let's do a select of that and get it sent. think that's it this week. I will make sure that that gets in the prezzo. That was the organising. That's when I think to myself, do you know what? It needs a way to mark something as in progress or complete or approved by whoever. So you will see all of that. You will see all of that tomorrow. So Mike got up. Then we had to say it took another hour after that. It was another hour after that. And then it was finally sorted. So neither of us have had that much sleep. Good night, Jonathan. So then this started. So I, because of this job last night, didn't get the mail sent, which means that's lucky because I can then say we'll turn it into an affinity special. So it's not dodgy. It's an illustration about rates of death that's based on a common concept, but one the editor thinks looks too similar to the existing one in a paper we're referencing, copyright, etc. Can you just, is it a chart or is it like an infographic thing? If it's a chart, it needs a different chart. Oh, talking of charts, there was one. Now, I will admit, and you're going to say to me, what were you thinking, Elaine? What were you thinking? I can't remember how I got there, but it was at the Sun. So obviously, I clearly need to say very little else to anybody from the UK. But there was a chart and it was in the Sun and it fascinated me. I looked at this chart and I thought, what is this supposed to be showing? Let me find it. 3 million other things here. Tell me where the chart is. It's not there. Oh, did I put it down here? It was showing the death rates. That was one thing. And the other thing it was showing was the infections. But the way they'd done it with a double axis was just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. So I need to find that chart. Did I put it in there? Do you know, I'm sure it was on the desktop. But that doesn't mean that's where it is now, does it? Could have been in the downloads folder. I need to find it, show you how bad it was. It was not good. I've got videos in here. Never have exactly what I'm looking for, though, do I? No. Not this. I'll have to dig it out. See if I can find it again. It had two axes, one on the right, one on the left. And the thing that made it look ridiculous was that it looked like there'd been more deaths than infections because they're trying to show two completely different scales in the same space. And I'm looking at it and looking at it and I thought I couldn't possibly have used that. It was bad. It was very, very bad. So that was yesterday's excitement. Probably can't find that now, unless they use that one all the time. Oh, against my better judgment, I'm going to go to the Sun. Why would I do that? I have no idea either. Right, let's have a look. Oh, I love the way it's latest and we're past the peak. And the COVID deaths are down a quarter. Yay! Only 915 died. Lovely. Lovely. There is a chart there. Is this chart in here? It is fantastic. Right. It just, to me, looks like that is totally... We have a saying in the UK, arse about face. That's what it looks like. Ah, that explains it. That explains why I didn't do it. Right, okay. I will do it via the cloud app because it's a WebP image, which means nobody can read it. WebP is absolutely useless. So let me do a capture of that graph. Tell me, does that make much sense to me? You really have to think about it to realise that the red bits, which are the deaths, look like they're higher than the other one because the axis is off. You shouldn't have to look at a graph for 20 minutes to think, oh, hang on a minute. You can actually see that the red number, which is 915, and the yellow number, 20,634, the red's higher. Why not just do two graphs? Oh, 3,000 deaths. The thing is, I mean, the 3,000 who've died, it's bad enough. but all the friends and family of those and everybody touched and affected by it, the reach must be huge, absolutely massive. And you've got the newspaper celebrating because there's only 915. 915 back at last March, April time was probably higher than the highest day. And now it's a good outcome. This is like Chris Whitty with his 20,000 will be a good outcome. Race past that, didn't we? But that chart, I'll admit, you know, it's Sun readers that are looking at it, so it wouldn't really make much difference, would it? But you get my idea. You get my point. Would that pass muster with your editor? I don't think so. Mind you wouldn't want to admit using the Sun as a source either, would you? Oh, crying out loud. And all the comments are coming flying in on here as well. Five to ten children dying every week. Oh, I had the comments. Just leave them be. Leave them be. Wow, I did not know that, Pete. More civilians have died during COVID than civilian UK deaths in World War One and World War Two. Wow, I did not know that. I mean, it's a horrific, horrific number. I'm just looking at this. There's a question here, a Sun poll. Do you know anyone who's been diagnosed with COVID-19? And the answers are, yes, I've tested positive myself. Yes, a family friend or acquaintance. Or no, not that I'm aware of. I mean, you can see where they're going with that one, can't you? And if you answer this question, then the information will be used in accordance, will be used to enhance your experience and used in accordance with their privacy policy. In other words, if you say no, they'll probably think you're like a non-believer. So they'll start showing you non-believer stories. Pete's seen similar, but still a poor method. I think it might work. If it was the other way around, if you're with me, or if the axes were anywhere near each other. But I don't think it's effective to show that. I really don't. But then how many people? I mean, I'm forever shocked. We had a phone call before with this person. This person rings us. And they are, well, you would think better of them. You would think that they were able to follow basic instructions. Let's put it like that. They weren't registered criminally insane or something. Oh, my God. We had to explain everything about five times. And when we came off the phone, Mike said, God, card carrying thick or what? And I said, but this guy's got a responsible job. And he couldn't understand the basics of what we were saying. So with a chart like that, always remember the local TV crew. They went round the Trafford Centre during sale time and they said, you know, have you got something? Have you bought something in the sale? And people were stopping and saying, yes, I have. So it was like, well, what was the discount? And they were saying like 20%. And what they were trying to prove, this camera crew, was that people didn't have a clue what 20% was. So these jeans were £100. I nearly fell off the chair at that thought. White pair of jeans they were. And she said, they were 20% off. So the guy said, so how much would you save? And she was just at a complete loss. So I think she said, I paid £80 for these jeans. And she said that was with 20% off. And he said, what is 20% off? She hadn't got a clue. Then there was other things like, you know, buy three, get one free and all of that. And none of them, not one of them, could tell them what the discount was. I was rolling on the floor. So when I see charts like this, I think this is ludicrous. No one's going to be able to understand that. But then it's the Sun reader, isn't it? So they basically look at the pictures. Not even joking. They look at the pictures. I think what I would do with that is, I think I'd make it taller so you could fit the 100,000 on it, but then make the deaths, I'd have the death thing on the same side. I'll admit, you know, you're looking at the deaths have been like a tenth. But even so, I don't think that's helping anybody to do that. Not at all. Oh, so what else did I do today? Oh, been busy on Facebook, unfortunately. I'm not good on Facebook. I'm not. But I had to post some stuff, so I sorted all of that out. Mike did as well. He's better with Facebook than I am. Oh, we did manage to put a gallery up there. The only problem was, I mean, does this make any sense to you? We put 23 images up. The one that should have been first wasn't. She's been a little madam. The one that should have been first wasn't. So we moved that to the top of this gallery. Then we looked at the rest of it. You know, if they're random pickies, then okay. But they were pages from a book, a 23-page brochure. Mike said, they're all in the wrong order. I said, I've not got time to sort it out now. The other thing was, we deliberately decided not to put up page numbers on it, because it would be odd. With this brochure's 23 pages. It should normally be 20 or 24. So we'd have needed a blank page somewhere. But because it's PDF only, it didn't really matter. But all these things are now in the wrong order. To add insult to injury, we've got to go back and sort that out. Ooh, Kim's been stuck in QuickBooks all morning. I used to use QuickBooks. That was a long time ago on Windows. I try and avoid it now at all costs. Right. Let me see what this is. Maybe they read this. Oh, Pete, what have you found me? Let's have a look. Loading. How to display data badly. This sounds like the reverse of Mike's how to do it right course. I think in their case, I would just do it on two graphs, but who knows? Who knows? You do that course, don't you? Which is it course? Effective presentation with charts or something? It's not how not to do it wrong, is it? Because that's a double negative.
Data visualization.
Data visualization. There you go. And doing it right. So I hope you've now escaped QuickBooks. Do you know, I've been that intent with the Affinity apps. I didn't even look at the rest of the news. But I did see something pass me by about the Apple Car. I thought, not again. And another one was the glasses. I'd forgotten about those. I'm sure we've not mentioned those for over 6 months. Do you remember the AI glasses? Is it AI? Augmented reality, I think it is, isn't it? The AR glasses. Apparently, they could be as much, make sure you're sitting down, don't tell Mrs. Pete, £3,000. And I actually thought to myself, you know, who in the right minds? I could see for things like maybe dentists and doctors, where you're trying to like manipulate something and it's virtual. I can see that. But your average person at home, you know, really? Wow. Would they dare do that? Oh, this is Apple. Absolutely. Absolutely. The price is supposed to be coming from the fact that it's got two 8K displays. Why you would need two 8K displays is beyond me. Let me get the link and I'll send them to you. They're not exactly the prettiest thing I've ever seen in this mock-up. But just when you look at this mock-up, think about the strap, looks like an Apple Watch. And then look at the overall diagram and think, AirPods Max. And I would believe it. I would totally believe it. So $3,000 for that. You're getting two pairs, Pete. That way Mrs. Pete can't complain. Or do you need one for all the baby Petes? This could prove very expensive. Oh, but you know, you give them two kidneys for a reason. I'm loving the WeKet. I've got an advert in here for a WeKet. WeeKet, as in a smart kettle. WeKet. I don't think that's the best name they could have thought of for that. But there you go. Apple told employees that they hope to ship them in 2022 and have them in glasses form by 2023. This was 2 years ago, so I don't know whether it's long-term planning or what. Would you buy a pair of those? I'm not quite sure what you're supposed to do with them. I mean, you can't walk around with them because you're looking at the screens, aren't you? So I'd have thought maybe for learning experiences, pilots, things like that. But other than that, help employees with hands-on learning of new skills for faster whilst improving training processes using interactive methods. Most of them can't turn a light switch on. But will it catch on? Who knows? Ooh! They do indeed, Paul, have double-decker tabs. And that's one of the things I'm going to show tomorrow. It's already in the email. More open and red tabs. It depends how you use them. There you go. Depends how you use them. Is it Google Glass? They actually look way uglier than Google Glass. Honestly. They don't look good to me. But there again, didn't Google Glass turn in... That's the glasses part of it. But didn't they create Google Cardboard? And I thought it was April the 1st. And it turned out it wasn't. It was a genuine thing. Nobody told me this. Are you heading off somewhere?
I'm playing with the dog.
Oh, is she up again? Mm. Bless her little cotton socks. Hmm. Oh, Pete Barnes on winning the lottery every week. It doesn't happen either.
Lola, I'm back. Mm. Can't open the door.
Lola, come on. She's not managed doors. She seems to have a problem with doors. If she comes in the office, which she has done a couple of times, she thwacks the door open that hard. It hits the cupboard behind the door and everything starts shaking. But what she can't manage is the doors seem to kind of half close by themselves and she just stands and looks at it. Now, Maya would headbutt a locked door and just expect it to open. But she kind of looks at a half open door as though, can some servant come and open this door for me? Thank you. She's just too cute. She is. Oh, QuickBooks all of the day. Oh, no, Kim, I couldn't be doing with it. I can't be doing with finance like that. I just don't like it. I really don't. It's boring twaddle. In fact, I saw the other day one of those... because I'd looked up a certain thing. Only I was looking up on YouTube a digital version of this. And then they said there's this video and somebody had done an analog version in like a bullet journal thing. So I thought, go on, I'll have a look at it. And they took February and it was a fairly plain layout for a finance organiser. And before you knew it, there were a million stickers on it. And I thought, are these women three? Yeah, they spend more time putting stickers on these things than actually using them. I mean, literally, some of these videos are like an hour long. And I'm like, OK, that's what it looks like now. Just whip to the end. Oh, that's pretty. And that's me done. But you know, they're an hour long. But this particular one made the point that because it looked pretty, she would use it more. And I thought maybe that's where I went wrong with QuickBooks. It doesn't look pretty enough. It needs to look prettier. With this lottery thing, Pete, you are buying a ticket, aren't you? We actually got told him in one of the homilies at Mass. This must have been 2-3 years ago. He goes off piste and he starts telling what's clearly a joke. You know it's a joke. And it was basically this guy had been to church and he was praying and praying and praying that he would win the lottery. And then he didn't. And he comes back the next week and he's praying and praying that he wins the lottery. Comes back the third week and praying to win the lottery. And God spoke to him and said, come on, mate, make it a bit easier and buy a ticket. To which everyone politely laughed. But it could just be that, just saying. Oh, Sarah's got her desktop whiteboard arrived. It fits a treat under the iMac. It's brilliant. Glad you like it. It's so useful. It really is. Not just for hiding detritus. But I'm on a phone call with somebody and I need to remember to just mention something. It doesn't matter where I've got it in my to-do list or whatever. It needs to be in front of me in red. And then I won't forget. Like there's something there that I said I would take a picture of. And it's still on the board. Now, that could actually be added to my to-do system. But sometimes the job you've got to do, you could have it done by the time you've added it to your to-do system and tagged it up so you don't forget it or lose it and added a date. So I just scribble it down and then try and remember to clear that by the end of the day. I must admit, it's been there for a couple of days now with a variety of do not forget this on it. And you love the way your keyboard can sit on it. That's just a bonus, isn't it? And as Tracy said, you could use that to lie the iPad on, because it would lift it high enough you could type on the keyboard. I'm finding it incredibly useful to put the iPad in stood up. It works particularly well with my iPad Air 2. Or is that the iPad Pro? I've no idea what the iPad is. It's a white one. It's not my 11-inch, because that's in a case. It's not my iPad Air 2, because that's in a case. It must be an iPad Pro. Unless that's a different iPad. It's a skinny one anyway. And my 10-point whatever that is works really well in it. So just saves space, doesn't it? What does surprise me is the fact that I can actually get inside it. Because I thought, you know, if I try lifting it up, will it fall over? No, it doesn't. I do put my finger on it if there's an iPad in it. But the glass is really, really heavy. But it was Jonathan that found the alpha of that, which I did go for. That was a farce, that. Well, I think mention was made of it. But nobody really knew what was going on apart from Kim. Because I'd said, I've got something on the way for an unboxing. But I can't say what, or it'll ruin the surprise. So Kim knew. Kim guessed straight away. But Jonathan hadn't got a clue what was on the way. It then went missing in the post. And I'm like, you're kidding me. It was around the time, it was before Christmas. So it was, oh, we've got a lot of parcels for the COVID thing. So just hang on. Anyway, after 3 weeks, I thought, no, I've had enough of this. So I got on to them and said, you know, it's still not here. And they didn't, I think, asked for a refund, but they didn't have any in stock. Anyway, I got a reply that said, we haven't got any in stock, so we could offer you a refund or you could wait. And I was pondering that. And then before I know it, they've got one and they sent it to me. So we did do the unboxing with Jonathan. And Jonathan was surprised because he had no idea it was coming. Kim knew exactly what it was as we were opening it. And I think I had that on my desk for about, I think it's about 4 weeks. And it was useful and I could push it back and it sat over the iMac and everything. The only thing that really narked me was there wasn't a drawer on the other side. It seemed such a silly waste of space. I contemplated, you know, could you not, you know what we need? We need a 3D printer for that. I got a 3D printed one. But then I spotted that one. It's a, which I do find usually very stupid with Amazon. You've bought this, so you might buy this. And then I thought, actually, they're quite right, because that one lifts up. So I did, and Mike's got the other one. But yes, it was young Jonathan who found the original. You did sit very quietly there with that for weeks. I remember keep saying to you, it's not here yet. It's not here yet. Anyway, it did in the end, which was fantastic. It turned up. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing? What have you been up to today? We've been affinitying, most of us, although Kim's had to suffer finance. Oh, we don't like that. Can you use your iPad as a second screen for your Mac? Yes, you can. Only in my case, it would be a fourth screen, wouldn't it? It's actually really easy. I'd forgotten when I upgraded to Catalina, which wasn't that long ago, if you remember. It was only about October. When they locked me out of my keynote at the time. So it was early October. I updated it and then I'm going through the system preferences in Catalina. And I'm thinking, I'd forgotten about that. So you do it from, you enable it in the system preferences and then you kind of throw a screen to it. So I did. The only issue I had with it was it reset both my external monitors back to their default resolution. And it does that every time. That is so annoying. I just want it to leave those alone. All I'm doing is adding another one. But unfortunately, the two 27-inch monitors either side of my iMac get reset to 1920 by 1080, which I don't have them set at. That's what Resolutionator's for. So I actually have them set at 2560 by 1440. So it takes me quite a while to get them set back to what I want them set to have this other thing sat there. So at the moment, I'm probably not going to use that much. If I want something like, I could control the YouTube stream, I could do the chat on iPads. So I would probably keep it on a separate iPad. But it's a nice touch if you need an extra screen, that's for sure. So for instance, if you've got a single screen and you're doing a Zoom and you want to be able to see the chat while you present, the ability to do that is there. So it is incredibly useful. Oh, Anthony's been transcribing a book from paper into Word for a client. That was a job I had to do. Not a book. It was a legal contract. And it was back in the day before OCRing. We're back in the days of, you know, like a 286. And I was on this course, and you had to do some practical stuff on this course. And I got sent out to this company, and it was so funny. I don't know if you've got any of this. I think it's going to depend on what's the book is. you'd rather rip out the pages, isn't it? Kim, but Scanner Pro, it can do curves. You don't need to rip the pages out. Anyway, I get there, and it's just basically a copy typist job. We just need this legal contract that's on paper, putting into Word. So I thought, fair enough. So I sat down to do it. Now, back then, I wouldn't say I'm a speedy typist in terms of I can type fast, but not as in a copy typist looking at what I'm doing and not looking at the keyboard, you know, because, and again, it was an unusual keyboard to me as well. So I thought, fair enough, we'll get going with it. And I was there because I was on this course.
Oi.
Yes, I noticed that as well. Keep her occupied. She needs a biscuit. That's what she needs. I was there because I was on this course, not because I was a lawyer. So I start transcribing this thing. Oh, it's boring, isn't it? It's boring. So then I spots that there was a word wrong. There was a word that was in there that had a legal meaning, and it shouldn't have been in there. It was the wrong word. I wish I could remember what it was. But it was the wrong word. And it was one of these words like precedent and president that sound very similar. So clearly somebody had just made it a mistake. So I changed it and put it to what it should be. But I did make a note of that. So when I'd finished, I said to the woman, right, it's done. I said, now, there was a mistake in it. And she looked at me as though, who are you to declare there was a mistake in it? So I said, you know, it's on page 3 and it's talking about X and that's not the word. It's this. And she said, this is a legal document and it's got to be precise. I said, well, it's not right to start with. I said, but, you know, go for your life. No, I think it needs to be as it was. So I said, well, I'd check with your lawyer. Yeah, she said, because it came from the lawyer. So I said, well, I'd check with your lawyer if I were you. It's not right. And I must have sounded so confident that I was right and that this thing was wrong that she did. I'm in the next room and she rings up and she says, I know this sounds utterly ridiculous, but I've got this temp in because that's what we were supposed to be on this course. She said, and she says it's not right. Obviously, you know, you've provided me with it and I'm sure it is right. Yes, it's on page 3. And I heard this guy on the other end say, oh, my God, that's wrong. She's right. So she came back in and she said, you were right. How did you know that? So I said, well, I'm a law graduate. I'm a lawyer. And she went, oh, she had no idea. Oh, so go through it and have a look and see if you find any mistake, because it's such fun, such fun. Oh, Anthony does. Go on.
I've had an email here.
Yep.
My mother has joined your Zoom meeting.
Does she know that we're not there?
I think she must have clicked the link by mistake. Oh, no. I set her up with a bookmark. I set her up with Zoom meeting. I set her up with a bookmark. So she must have clicked it by mistake. But that does mean that her update worked.
Mm.
The Windows update.
That's good. That's good. Hello, Tracy. Now, Anthony's got a sheet-fed scanner, but don't have a guillotine capable of doing that. Just have to place the book face down on the scanner and do it that way. Or you could use one of those app things. If you've got an iPad or a phone, that kind of corrects the curvature on the page. And it's pretty decent, that. Automatically OCRs it. So worth a look at. Dictate it. I once thought dictating it saved me time, Pete. A friend of mine had gone abroad. So this was, she lived in the flat downstairs to the one I lived in upstairs when I was in London. And her mum, so I live with her mum, she lived downstairs with her boyfriend. Her mom and her had gone on holiday. And I think the boyfriend gone as well. Yeah, there was nobody there. I was there on my own. And she just got these past papers with suggested answers. Honestly, you should have seen how many pages there were. And at 10p a page, it would have bankrupted me. So she said, work through them if you like. And I'm thinking, oh, I could really do. You know, there's that many of them. I could really do with having a copy to take home. I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll dictate it. So I've got like an audio copy of it. Oh, my word. Don't you speak slower than you think. No, that was going to take forever. So I ended up taking all these pages. There must have been about 2,500 of them to this shop. This shop was in Finchley, which was where I lived. And he was amazing, this guy. He was totally illegal. But what he used to do was, when somebody went in with like a medical textbook that was like £100, and they wanted a copy of it, instead of him charging them 10 pence a page, which would have bankrupted them, it'd be cheaper to buy the book. He'd work out the page numbers and could he get two pages on one and stuff like that. And he would give them a quote for the book. So this book might be like 150. In fact, there was an Archbold on Criminal Procedure, which was 250 quid. So obviously he could do a copy of that and it'd be a lot cheaper than that in terms of what it cost him. And then he'd put a bit of profit on top of it. So somebody could get a copy of Archbold for maybe 45, 50 pounds. It's a copy, but it's only 20% of the full price of it. But what the guy would do, because somebody else next week might come in and say, you know, can you do me a copy of this Archbold? And it's like, oh, I've got to start again. He would keep a copy. He would do two copies and he would keep a copy. And that way he could sheet feed it through and make multiple copies from it. And the thing was, where he actually was, and like word got round that he didn't ask any questions. The local library did, but he didn't. Now, these things were A4 pages to start with, which he loved because they would automatically sheet feed through it. So I rocked up with these 2,500 pages and I said, I know it's not a book. I said, but there's quite a few pages and I need a copy of them if you're with me. So I got a quote rather than quoted 10p a page. Headed back with them. But I did think about dictating it, but oh, did that take some time. Are we going to need an anti-dog cable guard? She's moochy. She's moochy. So she's like behind the chair. She does leave the cables
she's
alone.
Right behind you.
But she does curl up really close, doesn't she? So you can't move. Not at all. Now you see Maya, I said to Mike, Maya, is she doing it again?
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Right.
You head off.
Come on.
So she curls up very, very close so you can't move. Now, Mayer, he staked the place out and he worked out there was only one door and he would flop in front of the door. She has to be really, really close to you just in case you move and she misses it. She's not twigged yet that if she flops in front of the door, no one's going anywhere. But no, she's not eating the cables. That reminds me, I put a picture up once of a network cable that was not in the best shape. In fact, I think it's one of the very few photos because I'm not 100% in Google Photo. But I think that is one that I put in Google Photos. So I might even be able to find it because there's not that many photos in there. Right, let me do a search. I can search, can I? Can I search for cable and you'll find me a cable? Wow, that's not bad. It did. 2012, this was. This was my network cable. So I'll sling it up to Cloud App and share it with you. So I put this, I think it was Facebook or Twitter. And you know, people, so cheeky, came back and said, did Mayer do that? No, he didn't. It got caught in the door. That's the heir and the spare. That was the, at the time, I think it was a 5-cat cable that went from downstairs up to the office. There were two of them because one was a backup. And as you can see from the one that's a little bit on the north side, the other one then had to take over. So when I lay a cable, I don't lay one, I lay two. And I colour code them at either end, or that gets confusing. You know, you plug one cable in at one end and the other cable in at the other and wonder why nothing's talking to itself. So I colour code them at either end. And then if one breaks like that did, that was under the door. And the door just kind of over time did that to it. But it wasn't Maya. It definitely wasn't Maya. And the poor lamb got the blame. After that, I had to lay two more. So I used the other one for a bit. I got more cable in. I got Cat 6 this time. And I ripped out the pair of them and replaced them with new Cat 6. But because I couldn't do anything in terms of taking them under the floorboards, I got the chisels out, the hammer and chisel, and took a bit off the door frame. So it now neatly nestles under the door frame. I thought my mother was going to have a heart attack. I said, I'll put it under the floorboards. And she said, no, why don't you put it in a channel by the door? And I said, well, it's not going to go in there unless I chisel a bit of the door out. And to my absolute amazement, she said, that's a good idea. I'll go get the chisel. I thought she was going to ban me from installing cables ever again. But no, she didn't. So they now run in a channel. But yeah, Maya got the blame for that and he didn't do it. It wasn't him, I can assure you. Anthony's got Abbey Fine Reader for Windows, then export to Word, but you can't find anything good enough on the Mac. Devon think OCRs. What else will OCR? Prismo will OCR. Don't think Prismo's that cheap. Let me have a look. I got it on sale. I think it's an in-app purchase. But Prismo's pretty accurate. Prismo 4, let's have a look. I own it, so that it won't tell me the price. But that one's actually pretty good. Although one of the reviews is not good. When was that? A year ago. I've usually had pretty decent use of Prismo. If I was OCRing, though, I would probably do it on an iPad. Isn't that scary these days? An iPad's probably better. But DevonThink can do it because that includes Abbey Fine Reader. Okay, how much is this? Okay, Prismo's not cheap. Ouch. Prismo is $48.99. The in-app purchases, though, Prismo Pro, good grief, $25.99. I don't remember paying that for it, I can assure you. Maybe wait till it comes on offer then. But there is a Prismo for iPad and iPhone, and they both have... You know, instead of putting that on your computer and then you need a scanner, they both have a more than capable camera. So that's why I would probably do it on the iPad. If you have a little coffee table or something and you put it on your desk and you put your iPad on top of it, now you might need to kind of tie it to the desk, to the table. It depends. Depends on how you lay that out. But if you only leave the camera overhanging the side of the coffee table that's on your desk, you can actually create a scanner. It will know how far it is and it will be the same every time you use it. If you look on YouTube, you'll find videos of people who have taken like a cheap coffee table, cut a hole in it for the iPad to rest in, and then use that as a scanner. They just pop that on their desk and put underneath whatever it is they're scanning. And if it's multiple pages, you know, you just flip the page over, press the scan button, flip the page over, press the scan button, and it's as good as a scanner. And it's a lot less expensive because there's no way you'd be paying 50 plus 25 for Prismo on iPad. Definitely not. So the person that Anthony's working for, doing this for, has a Braille note taker. So you can load the book into that and then read it in the Braille display. How clever. How clever is that? I like the idea of the headings in Word because that way you're actually using proper headings, aren't you? Mm. Kim's surprised we didn't take the cables through the walls knowing the wall escapades. Oh, yeah. Not doing that. Did contemplate that once. Worked on the principle in the end. We wanted the studio as soundproof as possible. This was at the point we were using Blue Yetis and they pick up everything from three streets away. Maya got hurt once in the park. He got attacked by another dog that bit him. And Mike rang me in, and I'm in the studio recording a course. So I stops and picks up the phone because I knew he wouldn't ring me while I was recording unless there was a crisis. And I picked it up and Mike said, a dog's just attacked him and he's bleeding. I'm bringing him back. So I said, I'll meet you halfway. So I opened the studio door, flew down the stairs, most unedifying sight, flew down the stairs, you know, built for comfort, not speed, remember. through the kitchen, shouted to Mum as I went, out the back gate and up the street. And as I'm running up the street, saying, is he okay? Is he okay? When I came back to my recording, you could hear me saying, is he okay? Up the street on this recording from a Blue Yeti. It picks up everything. It's a nightmare. The conversation with Mum on the way out was as clear as a bell. And I said to Mike, when everything had calmed down, Mayor was absolutely fine. But obviously, people were saying that he was at fault because he was white and he had blood all over him. But it was this little dog who jumped up and bitten. He'd kind of got his jaws round Mayor's snout. So people saying, like, has he attacked somebody? And Mike's like, no, he's been attacked. So we cleaned him up and that. It turned out to be like inside his mouth. And May was like, well, I've only had half a walk, so I'm going out again. And Mike's like, do you think that's wise? And I said, well, if you don't, he'll feel like he's being punished. I said, it's better that he gets back on the horse and gets out there. So he took him out again. Point being, the Blue Yeti picks up everything. Everything. It's a nightmare. So we decided if we put a hole through the wall to take the cables through, you're introducing another point for sound to get in and out. So that's why we didn't. If I was doing it over again, we've noticed that the floorboards are an issue, that noise comes up from downstairs. Not normally an issue, but if somebody knocks on the door, the front door is right underneath the studio. So I would put like a lead flooring down if we were doing it again. But we're not doing it again because I can't do that again. Once was more than enough. So it'll have to stay exactly as it is. Once was more than enough. I'm not actually too concerned about having it around, going through walls. I have got trunking down to get it up the stairs, but then it disappears behind a cupboard. And in here, I probably could put something. The cables, there's two audio cables that go from my desk to Mike's, which is literally like, you know, 5 foot from me. But we had to take all the way around the walls. And I did find some like cable conduit, which looked quite nice. And then I looked at it and I thought, yeah, but you know, you'd only really see it going across the door. So it might as well stay as it is. The second I put it in some kind of trunking, the cable will break. Just to spite me. It would. It's not just OCR. It has to let you draw the zones to be OCR'd, let you define the order to be analysed on a page and layout tables. Yep, Prismo does all that. Devonthink doesn't, but Prismo does. There is another one. Is it called ExactScan? But I don't have any experience of that one. Though I've tried Prismo and it works. I probably haven't used it as much as I would have used it. Because I didn't have a scanner on this machine, if you remember. But if you actually open that up, so let's open that up in the App Store. There is actually a picture. Of course, you can't save the pictures anymore, can you? Because they don't like that. No, they wouldn't. Okay, I'll do it manually. Right, I'll take a picture of this thing and it shows you the zones that it does. Another one that does the zones is Acrobat, but obviously that's obscenely expensive. I would say Prismo is equally as accurate as Acrobat. So if there was a choice between the two, that's a one-off price and it does work rather well. The scanner support for it, I think it just supports any scanner that works on the Mac. My scanner, my flatbed scanner is old, probably 2003, 2004, something like that. Had great fun with scanners here. If you think about flatbeds, they tend to work from the bottom. So everything's portrait. I got this scanner that was landscape and it was really easy to work because it was landscape. But that was a scanner that I got that replaced another one, which in turn replaced another one. So we're talking about three scanners here. The one I had, the one I bought to replace that one, and that one broke within days, basically. And then I got another one. And then that broke. You're wondering how three scanners broke, aren't you? That would be my father with his radios. As soon as I... And this scanner wasn't cheap. This was, like I say, 2002, 3, 4, something like that. One of these scanners was about £150, which for a supposedly cheapish scanner is quite expensive. Guess who had to buy another one? And then he decided he wouldn't do that again because it was proving expensive. Every time a piece of equipment broke, what the problem was, he was putting out more power than he should have been. And certain electrical devices in the house at the same level as his wire aerial, which ran around the house, would just fry. So the TVs downstairs were okay, and then the kettles and microwaves. But a device that was on the same level as his aerial wasn't. They just got fried. So in the end, he stopped doing it. So going to have a look at it. Mac recognises the scanner on the printer, whereas a Windows does. Usually it's fairly forgiving. It might not have a dedicated driver, but try plugging it in and then going into the system preferences and having a look what the scanner thing says. And you may find that it's actually recognising it at system level without a driver. That was the issue I had with mine. It was an Epson and there wasn't a Mac driver. So I thought there's no point trying it. And then I thought, well, just plug it in and see what it says. And I did, and it worked at system level, but it didn't have a driver. For other things after that that didn't have a driver, I use, what's that called? There's ExactScan and the other one, ViewScan. Now, ViewScan is not cheap, but that also does, you'd have to check the OCRing on that, but ViewScan is the one, it's been around for years, so it's got a history with it, and it supports every scanner known to mankind. ViewScan is amazing. So that's one to have a look at. That will give you a driver, but it's also an interface. So it will scan documents, and it's got photos. It can do slides. I do believe it's got OCR, but it might be the pro version. Worth having a look at, though, even if you decide in the end no, because at least you know what's available. This was the one we had a giggle with, didn't we? Because when I looked at it, I was quoted a price. And when Mike looked at it, it was quoted a different price. And when you guys looked at it, you were quoted a different price. Today, I'm being quoted £29.99. That's Great British Pounds. And £69.95. The OCR is on the Pro model, which is £69.95. But that supports flatbeds, document scanners, film and slide scanning, automatic document feeders, OCR, and advanced features. So that's the one I've got at the time. And I don't know if they do that anymore. Let's have a look. Can we just say let's buy it? I got a lifetime license. It doesn't say if that's a lifetime license or not anymore. So I don't know, but I got a lifetime license. That was about 2006. And I've got all free updates since then. So they have been around a long time. They're a company that you can actually trust. Let's have a look. See the scanner, but see the printer. They're the same device. This is it, isn't it? Oh, ViewScan, let you try ViewScan, see if you liked it or not. But when Tracy tried ViewScan, it simply wouldn't work with the scanner. That's unusual. That is really unusual, because when you look at their page, you can check before you buy that it supports your scanner. And then, of course, there'd be some kind of trial. But when I looked at the list of scanners, honestly, it just went on and on and on and on. I did actually manage to get my Fujitsu working on my last iMac with ViewScan. And I did that at the point that I'm thinking, you know, it's useless otherwise. And it worked. The only thing that was a problem with it was, as it was feeding the pages through automatically, ViewScan was thinking it had finished. So I was getting like multiple scans for one document. But apart from that, it didn't do a bad job. It took a little bit of setting it up to get the quality and the file size similar to DevonThink. But it wasn't bad. So if the laptop had died a sad death and that was the only way to get the thing scanning, it was good enough. But then, of course, they brought out the driver and that solved the problem. Then it would just work. But I would recommend ViewScan. If you've got trouble with the scanner, rather than investing in a new scanner, which itself probably won't be working after another year or so, you've got access to any driver that they add or update. So it's kind of future-proof in a way. It's certainly something I would look at in your circumstance. But they are usually pretty, pretty good. So worth having a look at. But I do think the iPad stroke phone way of going isn't actually a bad idea. I did think about making the table thing for it, but I thought, while I've got the Fujitsu, I don't really need it. But I know people who have built them. I'll try and find some links for tomorrow. They've built these tables and they're doing it so you don't even have to break the spine of the book. So underneath the table, they've cut a hole in the table, the iPad sits on it, and then underneath the table, between the legs, they've put like two sheets of wood in a V shape, and you can put the book in there and it will scan two at the same time, and then the software sorts out which page is which and does the OCRing and the blocks and stuff. It's very clever, but it would work. DIY, gave that up. But if I had the need, that's probably the way I would go. Probably. Ooh, I can smell dinner. Mike's, we're a bit behind today. It's been one of those days. Isn't every day one of those days? But this one more than most. All will be revealed tomorrow because it's Two Show Friday. So I will be back with you on Two Show Friday. Where am I going at the moment, though? I've got that much stuff on this screen. I have no idea where everything is. There we go. That might help. So I'll say for the moment, good night from me. I'll say good night from Mike because he's cooking and things. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.